Hey, sexy lady, what do you know? It's time to do the podcast and get down with the show. My name is Ron Burgundy, and what I know it's time to do a podcast and get it done. Podcast, Ron Burgundy Podcast. Hello, everyone. My name is Ron Burgundy, and you are listening to the Ron Burgundy Podcast. If you are listening to this and have downloaded it by mistake, please turn it off now. Turn it off! Turn it off! We don't want any new listeners or random drive-bys, if you will, just dedicated and devoted listeners to the RB Podcast. If you have purposely downloaded this and it is your first time listening, then welcome. Welcome to the wonderfully inclusive family of the Ron Burgundy Podcast. We have a wonderful show for you today. We're going to talk about a topic which is truly evergreen. That topic, Christmas. It doesn't matter what time of year it is, I'm always down to discuss Christmas. Every year, the Christmas shopping season begins earlier and earlier, and it's still not early enough for me. I think holiday shopping should begin right after the 4th of July. Watch some fireworks, eat some corn on the cob, and then hit K-Jewelers. Done! Carolina, did I ever tell you about the time I ran into pop superstar Jewel at a K-Jewelers?
Oh, no. That's amazing.
Yes, it was so fun.
You know what? I actually saw Katy Perry at a Fred Perry outlet
store. Interesting.
And she was just in line. She waited in line with us.
Right.
And then she checked out.
Right.
And she said, you know, I'm thinking she talked a little bit with the cashier. And
sure.
She just, you know, you get a vibe from people. She just seemed like a really good person.
And did she buy anything? Did she make a purchase?
She made a
I mean, it almost doesn't matter.
I can't remember the details of the story, but I remember being like, oh, I want to be friends with that girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever seen
That was the thing. When I saw Jewel, and I was like, oh, that's Jewel.
Yeah.
That's, I can't believe it's Jewel. And
I
pulled people aside and I'm like, do you know who that is?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it's Jewel. And anyway.
How many pictures did you get of her?
I must have gotten 50 pictures.
And video?
Just clicking away and video. And, but then I was still too shy to say hello.
That's better. That's a nice way of like respecting her privacy.
She bought a bracelet. A charmed bracelet.
Wow. That's a story. There's a story behind that.
And stars. Okay. And
that's crazy because we both like dogs too.
Jewel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you like dogs, Jewel likes dogs, I like dogs.
It's so fun when those things line up that way.
Yeah, that's a coincidence for sure.
I remember you told me you saw another famous person.
Ron Howard.
Ron Howard.
Yeah, acclaimed director.
For those of you listening, that he's an acclaimed director.
A real artist. And
a child actor and an adult actor. Richie Cunningham and Opie Cunningham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just leaving a hotel with his family. He just seemed like a family guy, you know. And he put on a hat.
Oh, was he at a Howard Johnson's or was it just a regular hotel?
It was a regular hotel.
Howard. Oh, so it wasn't Ron Howard at a Howard Johnson's.
No, unfortunately, it was just a regular hotel in Los Angeles, but...
That is unfortunate.
Yeah. But, so it's not a rule, you know.
No, it's not a rule.
You know, celebrities go everywhere. They go to the bathroom, just like us.
They do. They do. And there's a study that just, I was just handed this study out of Johns Hopkins, that celebrities go to the bathroom more often than civilians.
You're kidding. Wow.
And I don't know who volunteered for that study, but they somehow were able to track it. And that's what's interesting about celebrities.
Yeah. Well, they're so much more interesting than normal people because...
By far.
Yeah, no kidding.
They blow normal people out of the water.
When I saw Ron Howard, I actually forgot that I had a mom.
That, you know what? That's a common response.
Right.
When I saw Jewel, I forgot I had legs. I just fell to the ground. I collapsed. And I was like, I can't. I've lost my ability to walk.
Sure.
And I was like, no, I can walk.
Yeah. But it takes a second.
But I couldn't. Yeah, I was wheelchair bound for about a month after my Jewel sighting. By the way, K Caroline, let me ask you this while we're on the holidays. What is your favorite holiday commercial? And I want you to think on that, if you will. For me, it's the Budweiser Clydesdales. I mean, every time I see that commercial, I know it's the holidays. Here they come down a snowy lane with bells around their necks, just doing their thing that they love to do, and that's pull a sleigh full of beer. They don't even know that they're in a commercial, and yet they are giving cheer to a world desperate for peace and hope. And I swear to you, and I'm not being facetious here, but if we could get every world leader in a room to sit side by side, lock arms, and watch the Budweiser Clydesdale holiday commercial, game over.
Wow.
World peace won, war, strife, poverty, conflict zero. That's how strongly I feel about that commercial.
Totally. No, that's really
It's so artfully, tastefully done. And it just, it makes you feel warm inside. Mm-hmm. And yet it does not make me want to buy Budweiser.
No, but no. In this political climate, what a powerful message.
You know, it we need things like this, yeah. You know.
No kidding. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite holiday commercial that runs during the Christmas season?
You know, I like the holiday car commercials, where the cars have bows on them.
Oh yes, when the family says, "Come out, I have something to eat." There's a surprise. Yeah. And then it's the gift. The surprise is a gift.
Right.
And the gift is a car with a bow on it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Those are beautiful. I don't really like cars or being in cars. My parents never got me a car, mm-hmm. but I just think it's cute, like a puppy with a like a puppy coming out of a present box. You know.
Yes. Yeah. Like a fat puppy coming out
with a little belly.
Coming out of a box. It's a present, right?
Yeah.
And it's on Christmas morning, sure. And the kids are excited.
I mean, that's not an ad, but that's just something that's fun to think about.
I knew we had some neighbors, the Jacobson family, and the parents did that, and they put the puppy in the box for the children, and they ran down on, and it was the one thing they really wanted was a puppy. And they ran down and they opened all the presents, like, there's one more, and they opened it. And it was the puppy, and he was just blissfully asleep, and they were so excited, and then they wanted to wake him up, of course,
sure,
and he wouldn't wake up because he was dead. They put the puppy in the box too long, for a month, and they just wrapped it up
right. And
kept it under the tree.
Well, that's a good message for our listeners. You know, if you're going to do that.
So if you're going to do it, you know, you got to remember, it is a live animal.
Yeah.
You got to feed it. And keep it alive until Christmas morning.
Or at least, if you're going to leave the puppy in the box that long, you should poke holes.
Exactly. Poke holes. Give it a treat occasionally. Sure. You know, basic things like that.
While we're on the subject of commercials, have you seen the Medieval Times commercials?
I love the Medieval Times commercials.
Thank you. Yeah.
I don't care if it's the holidays or not.
No, those are just good ads.
They're great ads. They're not even, they're like miniature movies.
Sure.
I feel like a lot of Game of Thrones episodes were based on the Medieval Times commercials.
Yes.
With the swashbuckling and the fighting.
No, they're so beautifully shot.
And the turkey legs.
Yeah. Huzzah.
Huzzah. WD-40 has a really good holiday commercial.
Oh, too. Okay.
Because right around the holidays, uh-huh. WD-40 always puts out its holiday version of a can of WD-40.
Yeah.
And it's not the blue and gold that we've come to know and love. It's more of a
collector's
red.
Edition.
Yeah, collector's edition. I love the one too where the little kid has left cookies for Santa by the fireplace and falls asleep hoping to catch a glimpse of Saint Nick. And then he wakes up just in time and Santa gives him a sly wink before he disappears up the chimney. I love that commercial. I love it. I don't know what the product's for, but every kid fantasizes about seeing Santa.
Sure, every teen boy fantasizes.
Everyone. In fact, one of my favorite Christmas memories was when I was, gosh, I must have been 7 years old. It was Christmas Eve, and my mother and I were putting some last-second decorations on the tree, And we had this beautiful fake Christmas tree that we would assemble every season. It looked like a fresh Douglas fir from about 20 feet away, but up close you could tell it was a metal tree. In fact, you had to put on oven mitts to decorate it, or the tree would cut you to shreds. We really had to earn it every Christmas in the Burgundy household, but it was worth it. It was worth it to decorate that beautiful thing. And when we plugged in the last string of lights and Mom turned on the switch, it would take your breath away. Wow. And I'm not just saying that. It would just light up. And once again, though, another reason for the oven mitts. You couldn't hold on to the tree and plug the lights in at the same time or you would get electrocuted. And I don't mean a light shock electrocuted. I mean raccoon crawled into the transformer box to keep warm electrocuted. That kind of electrocuted. Char marks electrocuted. Yeah, turn your hair white electrocuted. I'm talking electrocuted.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I got it.
Zapped. So, as I was saying, we were done decorating the tree when I heard a commotion in the back patio, and I looked up to see Santa himself with a bag full of goodies.
Really?
It turns out it was our neighbor, Dr. James Tarncross, mm-hmm. a dermatologist who dressed up every year to deliver a fruitcake. Long story short, he was neither a doctor nor a dermatologist or a neighbor.
Oh my God.
But that's for another show. Anyway, I screamed, "Santa is early!" And I sprinted to give him a hug, and I got a full head of steam running as fast as my little legs could take me. Santa was here at my house. I just couldn't believe it. So I'm in a full sprint, right? Mm-hmm. There was only one problem. We had forgotten to put our holiday safety stickers on the sliding glass patio door, and I went flying into that door. Bam! Wham! At breakneck speed. Have you ever done that? Have you ever run into the patio door like that?
No.
Oh, I smacked into that patio door, and I opened up a 5-inch cut on my forehead. And so there I was on Christmas Eve, sitting in my blood-caked footy pajamas, receiving 58 stitches from dermatologist and neighbor, Dr. James Tarncross. Once again, not a doctor or a dermatologist or a neighbor, just a creep with a lot of cologne trying to get into my mom's pants through her kid by dressing as Santa. The end. Do you have a favorite Christmas memory?
Oh, you know, I had a lot of normal Christmas.
Yeah.
But that was before my parents got divorced. Uh-huh. But my most memorable one is probably when my mom took me and my sister to Tijuana.
You know. Oh, I love TJ.
Yeah. That was after my parents got divorced. But
south of the border.
Yeah. We actually took a photo on a donkey that was spray painted to look like a zebra.
And did you think it was a zebra?
Yeah. No, it was a really magical time.
That's a great childhood memory.
Yeah. I didn't really understand divorce. So I didn't understand they weren't going to be together mm-hmm. ever again. And it's just something that I've been really still processed or I don't really talk about.
Right. Yeah. It's a divorce.
Yeah.
A lot of kids go through it. It happens a lot.
Yeah, no, I think that doesn't minimize the pain of it. But
that must have been a good Christmas, right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
I mean, it still was Christmas. You still got presents. Just because your folks got divorced doesn't mean all of a sudden the presents go away.
No, definitely. I guess I was just trying to say it was still really hard. And
sometimes the presents double, right?
That's true.
Christmas at dad's, Christmas at mom's.
Yeah, I don't.
Jackpot!
I don't think that.
Hey, mom. Hey, dad. Can you get a divorce? I want to double up my goods.
I definitely didn't ask for that, but
so that's a fun memory.
Sure. Let's just stick with that.
By the way, if you're just tuning in to the Ron Burgundy podcast, you can tune into a podcast in the middle of it, can't you?
No, not really. You'd have to fast forward.
Oh, okay. Well, if you hit the fast forward button and you happen to speed to this part, you are listening to the Ron Burgundy podcast. We are talking about Christmas. That's our subject for today. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, what a good question. Probably It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, with Jimmy James Cagney.
No, it's Jimmy Stewart.
Stewart.
Yeah.
Is it Stewart or Stewart?
Just one S, no SH. Okay. Yeah.
Jimmy Stewart, classic.
Yeah, no, it was really nice. My parents showed it to me right before they told me that they were going to get a divorce and that my mom was taking us to Tijuana for Christmas. And it was just like a good reminder that, you know, there's still good out there. And yeah, I guess it's something that like...
My favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard.
Oh, that's not a Christmas movie.
I know, but it takes place on Christmas.
Okay.
That's why on Christmas Day, whenever I open a present that I really like, I just yell, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Wow. Present?
Each present. Well, if it's a present I really like.
Okay.
It's like, oh, thank you, socks. Right. Oh, a tie. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, a Rolex watch. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Wow.
Even when I walk through a busy mall or a shopping area at Christmas, I just scream, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Merry Christmas. And I think it gets people in the Christmas mood.
I don't know. It would scare me.
I walked into a J. Crew and just yelled, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
40% off.
I wouldn't. I don't know if I'm going to do that.
You should try it.
Mm.
I'm telling you. It reminds people. People go, you know, kind of your similar response. Like, oh, that's from Die Hard.
Right.
And I go, yeah, Christmas movie. No, yeah. Not really. It took place on Christmas.
Yeah.
They usually give it to me because of who I am.
Wait, didn't you record a Christmas album?
Yes, I did. Thank you for asking. I actually recorded 4 Christmas albums.
Wow.
All in the same year. My most famous single being, of course, Christmas time, it's a wonderful time. It's Christmas time, it's the Yuletide time. Christmas time, it's time for some cheer. Spending some time from far and near. Christmas time, it's my favorite time. It's the only time, cause it's Christmas time. Quick check the clock on the wall. Soon Santa will call. Cause it's Christmas time. Time to time to time. Time to time. Time to time to time. Special old time. Time to time to time to time. You get the gist. We didn't realize until it was playing on the radio that we had made 190 references to time in a 2.5 minute song.
Yeah, I know, but I still think it's one of those songs that is such a holiday classic that you don't really think about how many time references there are.
You're sweet to say that, but trust me, that's not what the old internet thinks.
Didn't you have to stop reading the comments? Yeah.
I know. I always, that's my New Year's resolution every year. Mm-hmm. Don't read the comments.
Because you start around 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
It's over.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed.
I know.
I try to find the good ones.
Yeah, and sometimes you got to dig for, you know.
And I'm like, the good ones will come with the rising sun. And they never do.
Yeah. Didn't you have another Christmas classic called Crying Shame?
Oh, you mean... It's a crying shame. There are no presents tonight. It's a crying shame that Christmas won't happen this year. No one cares, no one hears, no one sees your tears as they drop to the ground on Christmas morn. Infant Jesus. That song I wrote because most, if not all, Christmas songs are upbeat. And I just thought there'd be a chance for a sad Christmas song in the marketplace, and I was proven wrong. But you take your lumps, and you move on.
Sure. I mean, I think people appreciate someone who tries something different. And I think that song is just ahead of its time.
Maybe. Maybe. Appreciate that. Probably not.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is clamoring for a re-release of Crying Shame. Not to be confused with the movie Crying Game, which is another excellent Christmas movie. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Crying, you know what happens in that movie, right?
You know what? I actually...
The lady has a wiener.
Yeah, no.
I remember I was in the theater, and that moment was revealed, and the audience was, oh, and I just was laughing so hard. I burst out laughing.
Yeah, that usually gets you.
The Irish lady, who we thought was a lady the whole time, had a wiener.
I know.
Talk about a Christmas surprise.
Yeah, no. She was...
But that's another good Christmas movie, Crying Game.
I wouldn't classify...
No one can talk about the lady's wiener on the Crying Game.
I don't recognize that from a Christmas album.
Boy George.
Oh, okay.
Who was a personal friend of mine. And he said I could sing that song. So, Nick, relax. We don't have to worry about shelling out some dough for that one. We're good. Yeah. Favorite Christmas gifts?
Oh, what a good question.
But hold on. Let's take a break.
Okay.
And we're back. We are discussing Christmas. And just one of my favorite topics. Always brings a smile to my face. And let's just free associate right now.
Okay.
And let's just go back and forth and name some of our favorite Christmas gifts.
Dollhouse.
Oh, ice hockey stick.
Malibu Barbie.
Easy Bake Oven.
World War II German Luger pistol from my Uncle Jetty.
Pantyhose.
Gift certificate to Black Angus.
Ooh, Micronauts.
A signed Hustler magazine from former actor Jimmy Kahn.
Oh, that was a Christmas present you received?
You gave that to me.
That's right. That was a good one. The look on your face when you unwrapped that.
Did you really get Jimmy Kahn's signature on that?
It was signed by Jimmy Kahn, wasn't it?
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. No, I forged it. Carolina, you are too good. I'm pretty good at forging celebrity autographs, but I couldn't quite get Jimmy Kahn's down. You know how many hustlers I ruined?
I just didn't.
I mean, later I realized, Ron, just practice on a piece of scratch paper. You don't have to buy a stack of hustlers to work on Jimmy Kahn's signature.
It just seemed like a weird actor, and I never heard you talk about him.
That's why in my garage I'm always like, don't go near that corner.
Right.
Those are all fake signed copies of Hustler. Jimmy Kahn fake signed.
Wow.
But anyway, I'm still glad you enjoyed the gift.
I did.
Did you ever look through the pages?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I don't look at stuff like that.
One of my favorite gifts was a metal detector. Have you ever seen, oftentimes you'll see people on the beach with the metal detectors looking for trinkets and stuff like that. Well, when I was a kid, I received a metal detector and I absolutely loved it. I would get home from school and I'd rush to the beach down in San Diego and hunt for buried treasure. I never worked a summer job because I would collect anywhere from $9,000 to $12,000 in change.
Wow.
I know.
Really?
Okay. That's a lot of change.
That's a lot.
Yep. And they hated me at the bank because I refused to roll the change. And I'd just bring it in big grocery bags. I'd have to double up the grocery bags because they're so heavy. And I would make the teller count it out in front of me. And I had already pre-counted it, so I knew exactly how much there was.
Well, if you already pre-counted it, why wouldn't you just go ahead and put the change in money rolls? Wouldn't that have been easier?
I know. You would think that I would do that, but I just didn't want the bank teller to get off easy for some reason. I can't explain it. I really wanted her to do her job. Well, anyway, one day I'm scouring the beach and my metal detector is going berserk. It just won't stop beeping, right? So I'm wondering what is going on here. And I walk the length, I would say it's 300 feet. The whole time the beeping just keeps going.
Yeah, that's
going
not that far.
And going and going and going. But it's consistent, as if it's one chunk of metal. Mm. Well, I start to dig. And I dig, and I dig, and I dig. Next thing I know, I look up, and there are 50 beachgoers helping me dig. We dig well into the night, and finally at 7 a.m. the following morning, we reach pay dirt. Teenage Ron Burgundy and his prized metal detector had discovered a World War II Japanese submarine.
Oh my God.
Missing in action for over 70 years. Yes. It was truly incredible. And it was, people just erupted in cheers. A Japanese sub! It had been missing for over 70 years in action. And all of a sudden, we start hearing this ping, ping, ping. Ping, 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 tap, tap, tap,
oh my
tap,
God.
Tap, tap. And we opened up the hatch, and everyone was still alive. No.
Okay.
No, there were just skeletons in there.
Jesus.
Yeah. But it was very incredible. The Japanese government at that time invited me to the Tokyo Cherry Blossom Festival for honoring their war dead. It was very moving. So I got to go to Tokyo, at least I think I was in Tokyo. I hope that was Tokyo, but regardless, it was a very moving and a wonderful Christmas.
Wow. Yeah. That story is incredible.
Missing for over 70 years. And it was under their feet the whole time.
Yeah. I can't believe it just buried under the sand.
Under the sand. Yeah. So, I guess the moral to that story is get yourself a metal detector and you might, could be your key to adventure. Yeah.
All right.
Should we take another break?
Yeah, sure. Let's take a break.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm just interested.
Are you mad at me?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No.
All right.
Everything's good.
Coming up next, we have a wonderful guest who's going to be joining us here in the podcast studio right after this. All right, you're back on the Ron Burgundy podcast. Caroline, if you will tell us about our guest that we have joining us here in studio, a gentleman by the name of Andrew, he has a very interesting story.
So for our Christmas episode, Ron asked me to find someone who celebrated Christmas. That was the only directive. So it was a last minute decision. I was in line in Starbucks. I asked, has anyone here, out of curiosity, celebrated the holiday Christmas? Andrew was a gentleman in front of me. He agreed to discuss the holiday and his experience with it in exchange for a fee.
So we're paying him?
We can discuss that later.
Okay. As long as it doesn't come out of my paycheck.
I know.
Because Papa's got to make his bones. I always say that.
I know.
What does Papa have to make?
His bones. I wish he wouldn't make me finish that.
Papa's got to make his what?
His bones.
Yes.
I would like to move on.
Welcome to the studio, Andrew. I understand from Carolina's introduction, you are an expert on Christmas. What don't you know about Christmas?
Well, to clarify, I don't know if I'm an expert on Christmas, but I do celebrate it.
Oh, okay. Great. We also, have you always celebrated Christmas?
I mean, yeah, since I was a little boy. I mean, I grew up in a household that celebrated Christmas.
And why? Because you loved it so much?
Well, I mean, it's a holiday that I think, you know, a lot of people celebrate. I don't know. I think it's...
How did you become an expert on Christmas?
Well, again, I probably know as much about Christmas as your average American, I would assume.
Huh.
Sure.
I think you're being coy.
You can tell us more.
I think you're holding an ace and three jacks. But they're dressed in Christmas colors. And one has a little Santa beard.
Okay.
So how do you celebrate? Someone who's a Christmas expert like yourself, I'm just curious, how would you celebrate differently than, say, a layman like myself, the average Christmas participant?
I mean, honestly, I think most of us celebrate Christmas in a similar way. At least my friends and I, we, you know, like when I was a boy, you would wake up in the morning and you would go downstairs and there would be presents under the tree.
On Christmas Day?
Yeah, it would be on Christmas Day.
Some people open on Christmas Eve. What do you think of that?
No, I know. That's another.
That's a little controversial.
Well, I think that's a different.
It's kind of cheating.
Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I mean, I just know from my experience, we would wake up in the morning and we would go and
have. I know, I would beg my parents. I'd be like, can we open one present on Christmas Eve? And they'd be like, what about your stocking? Maybe go check your stocking.
Well, that.
And sure enough, I'd check my stocking. Guess what was in there? An orange and some playing cards. Give me a fucking break.
Okay.
Jeez. Anyway. I digress. So, being a Christmas expert, you choose to open them on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that was typical of our family. Yeah. We would wake
up. Then what would you do after that?
Well, you know, I mean, when we were young, we would play with the toys for a while, and then there would, you know, maybe be like some breakfast or something that we would eat, you know, you prepare for later, maybe a meal or something, and family gets together, and maybe you have a relatives there or something to eat.
And would you leave a treat for Santa the night before? Maybe.
Like... Oh yeah, yeah. When you're young, you know, you leave cookies and milk and a little note for Santa,
right,
in hopes that he gets it, and you know, of course. You know.
Sure.
I mean, I'm a father now. And,
So you have children?
I do. So yes. We celebrate that Christmas basically the same way that I celebrated it.
We would leave Santa a chuck roast.
Interesting.
Yeah, with potatoes and all the trimmings.
And was it there in the morning?
He'd always take I think he's got so much ground he's got to cover. He doesn't want to get weighed down. So he would just take a delicate little bite and... So we'd eat the rest of that chuck roast for that week, and we'd make it last until All Queen's Day, which I believe is January 26th.
And we'll have to look into that.
I just did cookies and milk.
What's your feeling on holiday fruitcakes?
They weren't big in our household, but we would have them.
They're a little dense, don't you think?
It's a heavier cake, as I understand it. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. A heavier cake. Yeah.
Do you watch Die Hard on Christmas?
Die Hard is not really a Christmas movie.
Well.
Yeah, we've discussed sort of that's more of an action thriller. You can watch any day.
I think it takes place on Christmas. Am I right?
You know what? The more I talk to you, you just sound like an ordinary guy who celebrates Christmas. That you're not a Christmas expert at all.
I think that's what I told your friend here, Carolina.
Is that what he told you?
You just asked me.
Why did you bring him in then?
Because you just asked me to get someone who celebrated Christmas. So I had like 30 minutes before the podcast. I'm sorry.
Plenty of time.
And I got someone who celebrated Christmas.
I know.
So I don't know what you want me to do.
But I thought that he would know more. He'd have more insight.
He just is like a regular guy. I don't even know.
This guy's a dud.
I can hear that.
This is what I'm talking.
Andrew, it is a pleasure to have you here in the studio. A lot of people do interesting things, I've noticed. For instance, some families, it's a tradition to go see a movie on Christmas, sure, right? Or some people are, especially here in the California area, are really into fitness. And do you go to the gym on Christmas Day? Because think about it. It's one of the few places that's still open on Christmas, the gym.
But probably for good reason. No, I think that would be weird.
Because we used to hit the heavy bag after we'd open our presents. We'd go down the basement, hit the heavy bag, and I'd get one of those 1950s jiggle machines. You know, the belt that goes around your waist and goes or you could set it to a higher speed. One time I fainted, and I had it at the high speed, and I go, and then it got around my neck and almost asphyxiated me.
Those machines aren't very effective, if I understand correctly, in helping you.
The 1950s jiggle machine?
Yeah.
Carolina, why don't you ask the U.S. Olympic Committee if they are effective? Because they are currently in use as part of their training for the track and field team. So tell that to USA Olympics.
Okay.
Andrew, another question.
Sure.
Do you like eggnog or do you find it too thick?
I like eggnog, yeah.
I do too.
I think it's, yeah, it's very delicious. I wish they would sell it at other times of the year.
I've always said that. I've always said, anyone who starts selling eggnog year round, that's a $1 million business.
Ron actually usually asks for eggnog, and someone says, can I get you coffee?
I go, I'll take an eggnog.
I would love an eggnog.
Hot summer day, big pitcher of eggnog.
I mean, it's a little fattening.
Yeah, it's a treat. Mm-hmm. Put a little something extra in it, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, I don't. That's not how I like my eggnog, but yeah, I get it.
A little more bourbon, hold the eggnog, right?
Not for me, but some people, yeah.
But for some people. Sure. And not for me either, but for some people, in quotes, air quotes. Well, this is probably more me than you, but this has been a terrible interview.
Oh, okay.
Do you mind if we send you home?
We're not sending you home. We're just going to let you go.
Do we still have to pay you?
Who do I talk to about my 75 bucks?
75?
I didn't know what to say. He wouldn't go for 20.
Carolina,
well,
please.
We can get it from the talent booker.
We can also get it from your pocketbook.
Are you?
Okay. Because I don't want to go to the talent booker again and ask for more money. She already gave me $500 for the weekend. I need some walking around cash.
That's not okay. We are on a tight budget.
I know we're on. Well, trust me. These podcasts are supposed to get me through the end of the year, and I haven't seen a check yet.
Okay, so. I wish you wouldn't put her in that position.
Andrew, we're happy to pay you. Carolina will pay you out of her own money.
Well, thank you. It's been
a
pleasure.
Do you need all $75 up front?
That's what
you were promised. Yeah. You know what? It's the least we can do. Thank you so much, Andrew, supposed expert on Christmas. Turns out he was just a guy who celebrates Christmas. Big letdown for the podcast audience and for myself. But you know what? Ultimately, as I've said from the beginning, we're going to make mistakes. It falls on me. I can take it. We'll learn from this and we'll improve upon it. Thank you, Andrew, for your time. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with some of my final thoughts. Oh, okay. Yes, we're back. Carolina, let's do our fact checks.
Okay.
Tell me how we did.
Oh, we did pretty good.
Great.
Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It's not in that genre.
Mm-hmm. Well.
It's classified as an action thriller.
Debatable. Okay. I can take a hit on that one. Fine.
Okay. January 26th is not Queen's Day.
All Queen's Day?
January 26th is not All Queen's Day, no.
Okay, so what, did I miss it by one?
It's
the 27th, isn't it?
It's a longer conversation about the holiday.
Okay.
Jimmy Stewart.
Yes, the actor Jimmy Stewart.
It's Jimmy. It's not
right.
S-C-H, it's S-T.
S-T, so no sh.
Yeah. It's just going to take a second.
Because I've got Jimmy Stewart locked in my brain.
I know, yeah.
So it's just Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, maybe say it to yourself 3 times a day.
Okay.
And then...
Let me write that down. Say Jimmy Stewart 3 times a day.
S-T.
Say Jimmy Stewart 3 times a day. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the submarine story. So we're talking about...
One of my favorite memories.
I'm going to say the mid-1970s, early 60s. So and that submarine was 70 years old. It's just a numbers thing. You know what? The numbers aren't adding up.
Are you claiming that I've made up the story?
You know what? No, we want it. Everyone in this community wants that story to be true. And so it's just a numbers problem. We've just got to sit and crunch because I'm trying it at a few different angles.
Well, crunch all you want and you'll find 99 out of 100 times that story is true. Okay?
Okay.
You can crunch till the numbers are so crunched up their dust. But that story, I stand by that story.
Okay. It's just it's like a factual thing.
Thank you, Carolina. Once again, I think whether I like it or not, I think it's important to fact check the show.
Yeah, no, it's like a legal thing at this point.
Here's my final thoughts. I think what we learned today is that Christmas doesn't just take place on December 25th. As far as I'm concerned, Christmas is every day of the year. Let's make a commitment as the human race to treat each other with kindness and dignity befitting of the holiday season. Let the Christmas spirit start at the bottom of your feet, reach the top of your head, but land in your fart. I mean heart. God, I did it again. Why do I always do that when I'm trying to sound meaningful? Oh, you get the gist. This is Ron Burgundy. See you next Thursday on the Ron Burgundy Podcast. The Ron Burgundy Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio Podcast Network and Funny or Die. I'm Ron Burgundy. I'm the host, writer, and executive producer. Carolina Barlow is my co-host, writer, and producer. The show is also produced by Whitney Hodak, Jack O'Brien, Miles Gray, and Nick Stump. Our executive producer is Mike Farah. Our consulting producer is Andrew Steele. Our associate producer is Anna Hosnier. Our writer is Jake Fogeles. Our production supervisor is Colin McDougall. This episode was engineered, mixed, and edited by Nick Stumpf. Until next time, this is Ron Burgundy.